All right. God bless you. Well, I cannot think of any better preparation than what we heard and seen in light of what I'm going to share with you from God's Word. The songs, the manifestations, perfect. So I trust your heart is prepared, ready to receive the greatness of God's Word. Now, the subject at hand this morning is faith. Faith being fully persuaded. And I want to work with you in an important aspect from God's Word that if once you get it, your life will be so exciting, so thrilling. The walk with the Heavenly Father will be just out of this world. And I'm still learning this. And this is some great insight that I trust will work in your life so that you can live the more abundant life that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has promised to all of us. All right, we're going to go to Romans. So grab your Bibles, wherever they may be, physically or on your phone or whatever, because we're going to look at chapter 4, verse 18. Okay? So let's take a look at it. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Now, I kind of jumped into the middle of this. Who are we talking about here? Abraham. Now, if we looked at verse 11, what would that say? Verse 11 says he's the father of believers, right? And so we're going to have the opportunity this morning to learn how to believe God's word, the promises of God. There is nothing better that you can learn and believe than the greatness of God's word. Okay? So here we go. We're talking about hope. He believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so that by so shall thy seed be. So here he is, Abraham. How old is he? He's under 100. He's 99 years old. He was promised when he was 75 years old that he would be the father of many nations. But when he was 76, did he have any kids? 77, on and on and on. Now, he did have some in a wrong way, Ishmael. But the promised seed, that which God intended for him, didn't come until he was 99 years old. But here he is looking to God all that time. You know, how long do we wait sometimes to see the promises of God manifested in our life? Well, look at the next verse here. Verse 19, and being weak in faith. Did I read that correctly? Man, come on, you guys got to correct me here. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Now, let me side note here. This word not, he considered not his own body. If we literally took what is said there, it means that he didn't consider his body dead. The text in the Greek and the Aramaic, the word not is not in there. Okay? So he did consider his body. It was dead. He's 99 years old. I can't have kids. That's too old. That was the fact of the matter. Now, did that fact determine the results in his life? Well, he considered his own body now dead. It's dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. She was a little younger, but her womb was dead too. And here God's promising all these kids, he would have nations of people out of his seed. Come on now. How could this be? But who was talking here? Who was saying this? Who was promising Abraham this great promise? God. Who do you trust these days? You know, there's a lot of nice people out there that have nice things to say, and, you know, you kind of go into what they said. You go in, take your car to get fixed. They tell you this is wrong, that's wrong. Okay. You trust that they're shooting straight with you. But when God says something, there should be no hesitation that we can trust what he says is right on. Yeah. So, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't waver. He didn't stagger. He took a stand on what God said, and it was going to come to pass. Wow. Now that's bold. But was strong in faith, in believing. And here's a key. And I'm going to highlight some keys for you here. And at the end, we're going to put some of them together as a reminder that you can draw on to help your believing, your faith. But he staggered not in the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, doing what? Begging God, oh, please, God, let's do it now. I've waited so many years. No, giving glory to God. He's giving glory to God. He's recognized God is the ultimate truth. That's it. And I'm going to glorify him. He's right on. He's my Father. Amen. Yeah. That's a great key there. You know, you take the promises of God in a situation that you have concern in, give glory to God that it's going to come to pass. Don't beg him. Don't stagger. There's another point here. Next verse. And being what? Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. He was able also to perform this. Wow. If God says it, you can bank on it. And he was fully persuaded. Some great keys here. Now, when it comes to facts, facts are facts. And I know sometimes people think, they try to dismiss the facts. Like when you're sick. Oh, I'm not sick. You go, oh my God, oh, I'm not sick. The fact is, you're sick. But the promise of God is that you can be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. So that's what you draw. And we give God the glory. We're fully persuaded. Yeah. Any attitude that is not willing to look at the facts is not real faith. It's real. What's real? Let's be honest. Abraham did not try to deceive himself. He did not imagine something different from how it was. With his senses, he saw that his body was not good. The womb of his wife, dead. But he did not trust solely in his senses. That's the key. He did not trust in his senses, but he trusted in what the Father said. He trusted in the promise of God. You know, Abraham's called the father of all those who believe. So that's why we're looking at this fella. See how he figured things out, how he saw the results of the promises of God in his life. Pretty neat. We are required to walk that same path of faith. We are required to lay hold of the promise of God, to make our confession, to hold fast to the confession of God's word. So we speak it. Okay, I don't feel good, but the promise of God is I'm healed in the name of Jesus. So, okay, what is my confession? I'm healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not feeling good, but I'm healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, I was experiencing a little bit of that yesterday. But praise the Lord, I'm doing good right now, doing very good. So I'm thankful for that. We are required to hold the promise of God, to make our confession, to hold fast to that confession without wavering, no staggering, to refuse to be determined by what our senses revealed, and to look beyond the seen things, peering into the unseen realm to see by faith, our faithful high priest, then at God's right hand. So we look, not to the senses, but to the promise of God. Abraham was fully persuaded. He didn't just put a toe in the water. He jumped right on in. You know, I used to surf quite a bit. And in these Southern California waters, the water's cold year round. Never gets over 70. Eh, a few days it might. So, here you approach the water, and you know it's cold. And so, you know, it's easy just to test the waters with your toes. But those who are fully persuaded, they get back on the beach, and what do? They run and jump right in. They're fully persuaded. Woo! I wasn't one of those, to be honest with you. But it's a good illustration. I think you get the point. Fully persuaded. That's what we want to be. You know, I know when we have things, we're right at the edge of a situation we're believing God for. We're challenged in our mind. Doubts come, right? That fear tries to enter our mind. That's okay. That happens. The devil will knock on the door. You can't stop the knock. But don't open the door, right? You don't open that door. You send him away in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. So, the million-dollar question is, how do we get fully persuaded? And man, oh man, if you were listening to the songs and the manifestations, it's the word, and nothing but God's word. You soak yourself into God's word, and that's what you're going to be thinking, and that's what you're going to be believing, right? The word, the word, the word. There's a verse. I think we have it on the screen here. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing. Yeah, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God. Put that word on it. That's what makes the difference. God's word. We feed on the truth of God's word over and over and over. If we want to be persuaded by something, then we let it get into our minds. We soak it in. If you love spaghetti, you don't eat one noodle. You get into it. You get into it. God's word. Same thing. There is a young lady. All of a sudden, this angelic being approaches her and says, you're going to have a baby, and it's going to be the Son of God. What would you do, ladies, if that happened to you? Whoa. Yep. But she responded, I don't know a man. I mean, that's logical. Facts of the situation. But it says, well, verse 37, Luke 1:37. I don't have all these verses on the screen, but let me share this with you. You got them in your Bibles. You can read it. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, what did she say? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So what's the key here? Did she believe? Yes. Her confession was according to thy word. I don't know what it took for her to get to that point. But man, I'm glad she did. To bring the Christ child. But she believed the word. She didn't stagger at it. And she confessed it, be it unto me. Okay? I believe. It's unto me. I'm convinced. I'm fully persuaded. Now what about, and we saw this in the last song, David and Goliath. How did David approach this situation? You know, I played basketball in college and other places, and I'm 6'5", and I always had to guard guys bigger than me, and but I loved it because it was a great challenge to play someone that was taller, bigger, and it was a great challenge. I kind of think a little bit how it was for David, but this guy was, I mean, the tallest guy I ever guarded was 6'11". This guy was really up there. He's 8'9", I don't know. He was huge. He was mean. And how many days was he out there bad-mouthing the Israel army day after day after day? 40 days. 40 days. You know, numbers and scriptures, that's pretty significant. The army of Israel, they're hearing this by this giant, so intimidating. Day after day after day for 40 days. Well, little old David comes into the scene. And what is his confession? How does he handle this situation with this big dude? Man, this guy's 3 times taller than him, probably. Well, let's look at 1 Samuel 17:45. First, again, I don't have this on the screen, but you got them in your Bible, so let's read it. 1 Samuel 17:45. Here he is, David's confronting this Philistine, the Goliath. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest with me to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Whoa! Pretty bold statement, huh? You think he was committed? I think so. He had to be to say that. Wow. Verse 47, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. Now, what did David have? Did he have some secret weapon, that he knew would take care of the situation? Yeah, a few stones, a little sling. That was it. This guy had the shield and the spear and the sword. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and I'm going to take your head from thee. Wow. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now, is that a confession of faith? Amen. Well, was his knees knocking? I don't think so. I think he was pretty bold. He was right on. He was into it. He was giving glory to God. He was convinced that he could take him on. In verse 47, and all this assembly shall know, they're going to know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. Isn't that something? Yeah, that's David and Goliath. Great example of these keys that we're talking about to believe God. All right. Well, I mentioned to you earlier about a little chart here. So let's take a look at this chart, keys to faith in action. We got that chart here? There it is. Keys to faith in action. Believe and hope what God says. We've got the promises of God. We can hope in Him because God says it. All right, what else? Do not stagger at the promise of God. All right, you're confronted. The situation's there. You're kind of concerned. The senses are a little demanding in your mind, but wait a minute. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? Doggone it. This is what the Word says. I'm not going to stagger. I'm going to stay put on the promise of God. And then you're fully persuaded, right? Fully persuaded. And that comes with consistent putting the Word on in your mind. Whatever you feed your mind, you're going to believe. And if we're not feeding our mind God's Word, it's going to be a miss, hit and miss. And I've done it. I've hit and missed on believing God. But doggone it, the more I put God's word on, the bigger I believe God. For sure. Fully persuaded. And then give God the glory. Let's give Him the glory. Let's don't be all upset and be negative and this is the end. Let's give God the glory. I've got Christ in me, the hope of glory. Man, I am a son of God with power. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. What a great attitude to have. Give the glory to God. And then be convinced of what God promised, what He said He will do. He can do it, and He will do it. All right? So that's how we can walk with faith in action. We walk by believing in hope. We walk by not staggering at the promises of God. We walk by being fully persuaded. We walk by giving God the glory. And we walk being convinced what God says He will do, He will do. All right? All right. God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us your word by which we can put in our mind and heart and believe you. Father, we did this when we got born again. When we did Romans 10:9, we confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus. We said it. We spoke it out. That was our confession because we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Lord. And we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. And now we're your kids, and now we can continue to believe the promises of God So we're thankful that you continue to work with us. Your grace, your mercy always is extended to us, and that we can continue to put your word in our hearts so that we can believe you to do the great works that you've called us to do. Thank you, Father, for this. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Right.
Amen. All right.